on sight through Scripture. I'm going to preach on principles to find the will of God for your life. I might not have went to an Ivy League school or have the highest education, but I do a lot of thinking at work, and I think about the choices I make in life. Choices in life, life is filled with choices. Most every person in jail has made at least one bad choice. And we choose whether we're going to follow directions or we're going to do what we want to. We choose whether we're going to try to achieve goals or we're just going to go with the flow. We choose whether we're going to try to strive for tomorrow or just live for today. And there's a lot of choices in life. But I'm going to begin in Matthew chapter number 7, verse 7. If you have your Bibles with you, turn your Bibles to Matthew 7, verse 7. Please stand, if you can, for the reading and reverence of God's Word. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. And we'll read two verses. It says in chapter 7, verse 7, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open." Let us pray. God, thank you for letting us come together in this hour. Thank you for being a good God. Thank you for being a great God and being over all of us, Lord, and a protector. We beg you in this hour that the gospel would be proclaimed, that we would see the word of God change lives, Lord. And let me get out of the way and show the cross, Lord. Just anoint the preaching, and we love you and we praise you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So we see here that he starts off with, "Ask and it shall be given you. Ask and it shall be given you." This is our prayer in God's will. Our prayer in God's will. Now, what should we pray? What should we pray? Why should we pray? Why should we pray? I ask that because here lately my son has been asking me, why? 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 And I like to say, why not? And that's just the kind of character I have. But you can ask, why should we pray? Why does prayer even matter? But let me ask the negative. Why not? Why wouldn't we pray? Why wouldn't we pray? Our form of asking is praying. Our form of asking is praying. We will try everything else other than prayer. If we're sick, we'll run to the doctor before we'll even acknowledge God about it. And I'm just as guilty as everyone else. When we have a need in life, we might have a financial need. We may try to figure out a way to finance it instead of asking God about it. We try to run to things that we can see rather than the unseen hand of God. We have a heavenly Father, and He will answer our prayers. Our heavenly Father is so big and so great. We don't realize that our heavenly Father is a king. And He's not only a king, but He's the King of kings. One who needs nothing and has everything is God. One who has nothing and needs everything is us. So let me get a hold of this. The ones who have nothing and need everything can freely talk to the one who has everything and needs nothing. God does not need anything from us, but we need everything from God. God is a full bucket. He lacks nothing, but we lack everything. We are incomplete without God. It's very irrational if you just try to get reasonable with this. Why wouldn't we call upon God? We need everything and we have nothing. Why don't we call on God for our needs? We see here also, God commands prayer. God commands prayer. We are to pray without ceasing. as Jesus had constant communion with the Father, we are to have constant communion with the Son. What do you mean by communion? When I say communion, I'm not talking about bread and wine. I'm talking about fellowship with God. I'm talking about we need to pray without ceasing and acknowledge God in everything we do. Jesus on this earth had constant communion with His Father, and we as Christians need to have constant communion with Jesus Christ. God commands it. Also, we see here God is more willing to hear prayer than men are willing to voice it. I was talking about the full bucket. God is more willing to hear our prayers than men is willing to voice it. God is not the one that holds us back from talking to Him. We hold ourselves back from God. There's a story about an atheist man that was on a boat and he encountered a storm and he didn't know what to do, and he finally looked up towards the sky and said, "Lord, I haven't talked to You in 40 years. But if You'll help me right now, I'll never bother You again." The moral of that story is, if God is powerful enough to help him then, why wouldn't we depend on God for everything we need? We should not limit prayer. We should have as much prayer as we can stand with God. We really neglect the opportunity we have. We take for granted what prayer really is. All right, what is true prayer? True prayer comes from a true love and a true desire to have fellowship with God. True prayer is when a Christian that has a love for Christ pours his heart out to Christ and doesn't worry about how beautiful their words are, but he prays and he has a genuine and a honesty to him that is true. We need true prayer more than ever. We need to have a desire for fellowship with God. Thirdly, what should we pray? What should we pray? Sometimes prayer is hard to understand. And I've done some research, and I heard this on a teaching series a little while ago. And here's a good example of prayer. He gave the acrostic Acts. Acts, like the book of Acts, not Acts. Acts, A-C-T-S. And it's an acrostic. The first one is A, and it is, it is adoration. Adoration. That we need to adore God for who He is and what He's done for us. We need to say, "Thank You, God." You say, "I don't know how to pray, very complex. I barely know what adoration means." Well, we all know the prayer, "God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food." That's adoration, my friend. God is a great God. In the sense, God is a big God. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God is a great God. God stepped out on nothing and made everything. God is the one who holds the sun and the moon in the sky. God is a great God. But it would be bad if He was just a great God and not a good God. We'd all be in hell. God is great, but God is good. God loves us. God died for us. And He loves us. Just a benevolent love, the sun that we felt in the wonderful weather. Even the worst of sinner gets to feel the love of God. That's adoration. Telling God who He is. God, You are magnificent. God, You are wonderful. Secondly, confession. Be honest about your sins. A lot of times when I pray at night before bed, we say the sorriest 20-second prayer and we go off to bed. But we need to be honest with God, and I begin to pray now, "Lord, forgive me for this sin," and I try to remember the sins I know I committed. And I pray, Lord, in the sins I don't know I committed, forgive me for. And remind me to confess it. We need to come clean with God. We need to confess God our sins. We need to be honest about sins and not just drift over. Thirdly, thanksgiving. We need to thank God for everything. I have very fond memories. If you go around the table at Thanksgiving and ask a child, what are you thankful for? The parents have said, I'm thankful for the house, I'm thankful for the home, or for the car, I'm thankful for the dog, or I'm thankful for money. And the kids will start saying, I'm thankful for my toothbrush. I'm thankful for my shoes. I'm thankful for the mailman. I'm thankful for the garbage man. And he goes on and on, thank you for windows. That way the air don't blow in here. Maybe we need to thank God a little bit more. Maybe on that we need to have a little childlike faith and just thank God for the little things. Thank you, God. Thank you. You know, I may not be right where I'm at, or I may not be right where I wanted to be, but I'm a whole lot better than I was 5 years ago. And we don't need to forget the blessing we just received looking towards the next one. Yes, we need to look forward, but we need to thank God and be grateful to God for what He has done for us now. Lastly, supplication. Make your needs known to God. See, our mistakes as Christians is this. Our prayers, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins, this is what I need. I'm sorry for my sins, this is what I need. I need $1 million. I need this and that. But lastly, we need to have supplication. Make your needs known to God. We see here over in the book of 1 John chapter number 5. I know I haven't been quoting a lot of scripture, but here it goes. And this is a confidence that we have in Him that, and here's a condition, here's a clause, that if we ask anything according to His will, not our will, according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition, we have the request that we desire of Him. We don't need to pray, Lord, let me win the cash pot. I'm going to put it all on number 7. You ought to hear some of the prayers I hear at work. And people say they're not religious. Everybody is deeply superstitious. I heard a man say, I'm 60 years old. I bought, number 6 lottery tickets. Everybody is superstitious. We need to thank God. We need to pray to God. We need to acknowledge God. We need to say, God, I know You have a will for my life. And look, this is what I want to do, but God, we need to make our requests known to God and say, God, what would You have for my life? Would You have me take this job here? Or should I stay here? Would You have me live here? Would You have me live there? We don't need to tell God what we want. We need to talk with God and counsel with God and say, God, what is Your will for my life? Because if we don't pray the Father's will, He doesn't hear it, according to the Bible. We need to pray the Father's will. Ask and it shall be given. Our prayer in God's will, we need to pray in the Father's will. Secondly, seek. Seek our perspective in God's will. Our perspective in God's will. Why should we seek God? I know these is sort of funny, and I've never done anything like this, but this is what the Lord led me to do. Why should we seek God? One, God commands it. Again, God commands that men seek Him. Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Men search for many things. Men search for riches. Men search for empty praise. And if we're not careful as Christians, we'll do the same thing. I was at work today, and I wasn't just talking to my boss. I was talking to my boss's boss. And he asked me some advice for fixing these molds. And I said, we need to do this and we need to do that. And I feel like that'd be the best thing to do. And he said, man, that's a good idea. And my flesh enjoyed man's empty praise. And I was like, I was just thinking, you know, I enjoy hearing that, but it'll be gone the next second I do something wrong. Man's praise is empty. It may be here 1 minute, it'll be gone the next minute. Riches, even though we gotta have money, are empty. You ask a rich man that has a house full of riches, don't have a family, don't have God, he's liable to kill himself. Riches ain't no good if you don't have nobody to enjoy them with. We will sell ourselves out for praise. We will sell ourselves out for riches. And we try to seek these things, but we need to seek God. And God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews chapter number 11. This is a chapter of the heroes of the faith. It says in chapter number 5, or verse number 5, by faith Enoch, which was a Gentile, we which are Gentiles can even have communion like Enoch. By faith Enoch, which was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God has translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Again, how can we seek God then? We realize we need to seek God. How can we seek God? One, God's Word. God's Word. I know this isn't very deep theologically and it's very plain, but this is the truth. If you want to know who God is, you look in God's Word. Psalms 119, 105, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What does that mean? God's Word is a lamp unto my feet. It shows us where we're going here and now, but it's also a light unto my path. It shows us where our direction we need to be headed. If we don't have that light, we're in a lot of trouble. I remember last year, me and Aaliyah went hunting in the morning. And I knew the spot where we was hunting because the day before I put out two lawn chairs for us to sit in some bushes. And me and her was out there in the dark. And I was walking, and next thing I know, she fell down and she was knee-deep in an armadillo hole. If we don't stay in God's Word, we don't have that illumination, and if we don't have that illumination, we'll fall. We don't need to look to CNN or MSNBC or even Fox News. We need to stay in God's Word. Why? Why do we need to stay in God's Word? One, it shows us God's way. What is God's way? God's way is God's law or God's character. The way of God is good. We look to God's law as principles in our life, that we need to follow God's law in order to be in the will of God. That everything we do, we don't need to know all the future, but if we're a diligent worker and we don't steal things and we love our neighbors, ourselves, and we try to follow the way that God is, God, we will be in the will of God. You see, people try to make the will of God, and I did for a long time, something you can see far off. But the will of God is every minute kind of thing. It's a here and now kind of thing. If there's a wrong and a right choice to be made, we need to consult God's law and make something that Jesus Christ would do. It also shows us God's wisdom. When we need counsel, when we need wisdom, I do believe in a multitude of counselors, but the Bible has wonderful wisdom in it that we need. It also shows the wonders. God has delivered the Israelites. He has delivered the Christian through persecution and through trials time and time again. And when our faith begins to become weak, it says, so faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing of the Word of God. And we could get filled up with the Word of God, where we say, there's a testimony that Jesus delivered Moses and the Hebrew children from Pharaoh. And Joseph was let out of jail, and he was promoted to prime minister. And there's still hope for me in this situation. We need to have a perspective of God. We need to look to God. Secondly, we look to God and His world. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." He's saying in this chapter that the world is the artwork of the artist, which is God. Even the atheists are without excuse, because there's no way to explain a world without God. We need to look to God's world. We need to see how big God is. We need to go out once a month and look at the stars and pray towards heaven and look towards God and just pour our heart out. That's how the Jews used to pray. They would look towards heaven and have their hands raised and pray towards God. I think there's just something healthy to that. I'm not saying that you have to do that. But it is wonderful to see that the heavens declare the glory of God. Other than that, we can look in God's world by His providence. God works everything after His own will. God will work things out in our life if we're diligent. We see Moses how, yet he had the education. He may have went to the Harvard in Egypt. He had all the education. Yet God sent him out to the wilderness to be a shepherd. But God had a purpose for that. We see Joseph that he got sold into slavery. He got accused of rape. He got thrown in a prison, but God's providence showed him God's will. And God is working everything out for good for His children. We just need to go with what God has to say. We need to follow God's principles. And when God opens a door and we feel like it's what the Lord have us to do, we need to do it. Thirdly, and my last point, persistence in God's will. Persistent in God's will. Again, why should we be persistent? Again, God commands it. God commands that we be persistent, and we need some Christians that are dependable. We have a problem today that Christians are not dependable, that even though they say they're full of faith, and I'm preaching to myself, this came to me before it came to you, that we're not dependable. We're not faithful. We're not persistent. We just give up too early. It's sort of like I have a tiller I've been trying to use. I used it last year. And that tiller, I mean, you know, you're going to get a rain tomorrow. You got to plant your garden today. You need your tiller to run. You got to get the job done. It's got to be persistent. It's got to keep pushing on. But something's wrong with the carburetor where that thing will idle 2 hours straight. But once you put a little load behind it and give it some gas, it'll die. And that's sometimes how we get, that we do just enough bare minimum to say we're doing something for God, but when God tries to use us, we'll just give out on Him. You know, what's one of the hardest workers to have, if any of you has been a boss? It ain't a worker that's lazy and don't do nothing. It's a worker that knows exactly how little he can do and get by with it. That he's a leech and a nuisance on the company and the organization. That he's not bad enough, they have to fire him. But somebody could take his spot and do a wonderful job. But yet he's just right there being a leech onto that company. We don't need to be that as Christians. We need to be dependable. We need to be a Christian. And again, we're not going to let God down. God knows what we do, but I'm just saying, we do have the ability to choose, and we do have the ability to pick yourself up a little bit and say, I'm going to keep moving on, whether I'm beat black or blue. I'm going to keep pushing on. I'm going to be there for my church. I'm going to be the man I need to be at my work. I'm going to try to be a stand-up man again. And again, you're going to fall. And again, we're going to show up on time, and we're going to work hard, and we're going to be persistent. How can you be persistent? How can you be persistent? One, daily prayer. We've been over prayer. And I want to read this story in the book of Luke, chapter number 18. And it says this in chapter number 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was a city, a judge, which feared not God, nor regarded man. So what has that told us at that point? They're setting up a store that there was in a city, there was a judge. So this man had some authority, he had some power. This man didn't fear God, and he didn't care what a man had to say. He had no external influence. We see here this man had no external influence. He feared not God nor regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And a widow most of the time is a very strong woman, but a very helpless woman. She doesn't have a man to defend for her. And she came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. He wouldn't. He said, no, go on. No, go on. No, go on. He would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. She's wearing me out. It ain't even that big of a deal, but since she's here all the time bugging me, I'm going to do what she wants me to do. And I know God's not that way. It's just an illustration of perseverance. And he said this, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. So this man didn't have a conscience. This man wasn't just. This man didn't care what nobody else thought. But he finally got enough pressure on him to do something about this for this helpless woman. And he said this, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find us persevering? Shall he find us keep pushing on? If an unjust judge will do this, how much more will our Heavenly Father do this for us? We need to keep pushing on. We need to stay in God's Word. Not only that, we need to also have daily Bible reading. We need to have daily prayer. We need to stay where we are until He leads us elsewhere. A lot of times I get tired of the same old scenery. I like to job hop. I like to change things up. I mean, I like to do something different. And variety is the spice of life, you know, the old lingo goes. But we are called to stay where we are and be right where we are and be faithful right where we are until God moves us. 1 Corinthians 7:20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. If God has called you to be here at Liberty, be here. Show up on time. Help around the church. And I'm not trying to be a drill sergeant. I'm just saying, do what you can do to help. If God calls you to be there on the job, even though you hate it, be there. Do the job for the honor of Christ. If God calls you to be a stay-at-home wife, do the job. There's not a lot of praise for wiping babies and doing things mothers do, but God sees you doing it. Do the job. When you are now, where you are now, be there all the way. Do everything wholeheartedly under the Lord. Finally, in closing today, trust in God through waiting. I hate waiting. I think every person hates waiting. But we need to trust in God through waiting. Psalms 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We need Christians to pray. We need Christians to look towards God's Word and look for God, look for opportunity that God uses in this world to witness and be used by God. And we need Christians not just to do it for a day, but keep pushing on for the glory of God. Wait on the Lord, and the Bible tells us that He will strengthen our heart. That's all I got today, brother. Thank y'all for the opportunity.